Right now, it's the Talk of the Nation Summer Movie Festival. Our first in the series takes us back to work.
Yes, hi, I need a jet tonight from Miami to New York. Yeah, sorry, hold on.
What?
Hello? Miranda, hi. Look, I'm trying to get you a flight, but no one is flying out because of the weather.
Please, it's just, I don't know, drizzling. Well, someone must be getting out. Call Donatella, get her jet. Call everybody else that we know that has a jet. Irv, call every... This is your responsibility. This is your job. Get me home.
Whether they abuse you, overuse you, or bore and ignore you, there is nothing quite like the boss from hell. In the movies, it's among the juiciest of roles. Picture Meryl Streep and Sigourney Weaver stalking New York hallways in heels of horror. Dabney Coleman ogling a trio of cunning secretaries, or Al Pacino as the boss. Well, he actually was from hell. Hey, if you've got a favorite movie with a migraine-inducing manager, let us know. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Back again for the second annual Talk of the Nation Movie Festival is Murray Horowitz, director and COO of American Film Institute's Silver Theater and Cultural Center here in the Washington area. Murray, thanks for being with us in Studio 3.
Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here, Neil.
So the obvious contender for this dubious title is Madame Streep. What did she does with her glasses alone is enough to inspire fear.
Meryl Streep is probably now the, you know, archetypal, not the archetype, the ideal American actor, the definitive, that's the word I was looking for. And her technique, her virtuosity is just astonishing, and it's always connected to something expressive. And she has, as you say, the boss from hell really is one of the juiciest roles, and so it engages the talents of some of our greatest actors. And Meryl Streep just does an incredible job turning from making you laugh wonderfully hard to making you almost cry in the same speech.
Give me a for instance. Who's your favorite?
Well, you've taken some of it. Pride of Place sort of goes to Dabney Coleman in 9 to 5. We have a labor festival that we do every year with some local labor organizations, and last year was the 25th anniversary. Jane Fonda came to the theater, and it's just astonishing what this guy does. I think, though, that one of our staff at the AFI Silver came up with, right as I was leaving the office, one of the ones that I would have forgotten, the stepmother and stepsisters in Cinderella. They are, I mean, for those
are they
of us,
bosses? I guess so. Yeah.
What were they doing, telling her to sweep the floor? You know.
I suppose that's management of a sort. But the Dabney Coleman character in 9 to 5, and if you've forgotten just how sleazy he was, let's take a listen.
Dora Lee, I'm serious. Don't you understand I am crazy about you? You're all I ever think about.
Mr. Hart, I've told you before, I'm a married woman.
And I'm a married man. That's what makes it so perfect.
Oh, Mr. Hart.
No, Dorothy, please. Look, I want you.
Oh, for heaven's sake. What are you doing, Mr. Hart?
Call me Frank.
Well, of course, later Frank gets tied up with business affairs.
Quite right. And you know, that scene with Dolly Parton reminds me that that film was 25, now 26 years ago. And the boss from hell is a sort of a temporal phenomenon. And the bosses are reflective of their times. One of my favorites is Fred McMurray as Jeff Sheldrake in The Apartment.
And we have a clip from that movie. This is where the boss tries to inform his new employee, Jack Lemmon, that that apartment he's got, he might have some other uses for it.
Look, Baxter, I'm not just giving these tickets. I want to swap them.
Swap for what?
It also says here that you are alert, astute, and quite imaginative.
Oh? Oh.
Dawn breaks on Marblehead. Yeah.
And, you know, that was the Madison Avenue boss of the 50s, or I think 1960, just as there was Dabney Coleman in, you know, 25 years ago being that. And the contemporary boss is Bill Lumbergh in Office Space, which is this classic 90s film.
And this is a cult hit that took off mostly because of this particular voice. This is the movie Office Space, and, well, it's a lot about cubicles.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out. Did you see the memo about this?
It's
so cloying.
Let's get a caller in on the line. This is Marilyn. Marilyn's calling us from Gold Canyon, Arizona.
Hi there.
Hi there.
What a movie. What a boss. I mean, I think that guy is just the worst ever.
You sound like somebody who has experience with a boss a little like that.
Well, sort of, yes. But, for the most part, there is another scene in this film where he just asks him to come in for the weekend, work Saturday, and he says, I'm going to need you to work on Sunday, and it's just irritating and awful. So,
Sounds like you can relate to it.
Bosses, but I think this guy takes the cake. So.
Well, these are all, for the most part, Murray, these are comedies.
They are mostly comedies, and I think the reason for that is, Neil, that, you know, movies are still, in my view, the greatest cultural force to bring people together. I mean, you say The Devil Wears Prada, and a whole pile of people of all ages and races and backgrounds know what you're talking about, at least in America in this summer. And so in addition to people we love to love being kind of universal types whom we can all relate to,
sure.
People like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, there are people we love to hate.
That was Eric von Stroheim.
Well, I'm telling you, I might go for Frank there in Office Space. I mean, anybody, whether you had a red stapler or not, who worked in an office in the 1990s can relate to that guy.
Marilyn, thanks very much for the call.
My pleasure.
We solicited emails from the working masses who listen to National Public Radio's Talk of the Nation Summer Movie Festival, asking them to give us their pick for the most devilish boss. We received this one from Ron Aaron. Who better or worse than Commander Queeg to be crowned the best of the worst bosses from hell? He hounded his staff, would not listen to reason, went off on ludicrous tangents, and when confronted with the facts, chose to ignore them. Makes one wonder whether Herman Wouk knew a Queeg from first hand, and who can forget Humphrey Bogart's portrayal in the film? Close your eyes. Can't you see and hear Bogart working those ball bearings in his hand? Makes my skin crawl. And joining us now is Ron Aaron. He's the Vice President for Institutional Advancement at the Winston School in San Antonio, Texas. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Well, it's great to be aboard. Thank you.
Captain Queeg welcomes you aboard. What a great pick.
Well, Captain Queeg, I think for those of us who read the book and saw the movie, sticks in your mind forever.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, I must tell you, Ron, that there are sort of two subsets of this genre, and I didn't know whether to treat them or not. One's military bosses, right? Because it's important to remember Captain Queeg is himself the inheritor of the great tradition of Captain Bligh, who was played by both Charles Laughton and Trevor Howard in the movies, alternately terrorizing Clark Gable and Marlon Brando. And my favorite military boss of all is Sterling Hayden in Dr. Strangelove.
I thought you were going to go, in fact, to Jimmy Cagney as the captain in Mr. Roberts.
That's a very good one. Cagney is horrible, and your flesh crawls when you see him come on the screen.
But Captain Queeg, there is a guy who has absolutely terrorized his entire crew.
Well, he has, and I worked for a guy years ago like that in Washington, D.C., so I felt it firsthand.
I am sorry.
Yes, believe me, you would be.
Well, was he nuts like Captain Queeg? Captain Queeg is crazy.
It's the strawberries. It was the strawberries.
Right. I'll give you a quick example, and I know you're short on time, but he hated my briefcase. Can't tell you why. One night he invited my wife, Dee, and I to his home for dinner, and he said, let me have your briefcase. He told me to bring it with me. He took it out into his backyard in Great Falls across the river from you all, got a gun out, and blew it to smithereens. Brought it back. You could hear the gun. Brought it back, handed it to me, and then gave me a new briefcase for my birthday.
Oh, my God.
And
strawberries for dessert. I'm sorry.
And I loved the old briefcase.
Oh, jeez.
This person worked for the U.S. government?
No. Well, he had at one point. In fact, believe it or not, he had worked for OSHA, worked for the CIA before that.
Was he ever president of the United States?
No comment.
Ron, thanks. Wait a minute.
Yes.
You're a vice president, aren't you?
Yes, but I'm not a vice president in waiting.
Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
I appreciate talking to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ron Aaron, Vice President for Institutional Advancement at the Winston School in San Antonio. And, Murray, that reminds me, You're a COO too.
That's right. I'm a chief operating officer. And I was really, I've got to thank, first of all, Lori Donnelly from our programming staff for helping me to put all this together. But also I have to thank my whole staff for not naming me as the boss from hell.
Well, we had some, you used to work here. We had some volunteers ready to nominate you from the fourth floor here at the Performance Division at National Public Radio. But anyway, let's see if we can get some more listeners on the line. And this will be Chip. Chip's calling us from San Antonio.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I would have to say the worst boss would be Kevin Spacey's role in a movie called Swimming with Sharks.
He was Buddy, isn't that his name?
Yeah, Buddy.
Oh, God, he's awful.
Which is a great name for such an evil person.
I haven't seen this one. I try to go look for Kevin Spacey movies, but
go ahead. I'm sorry, Chip.
Because he starts out, I mean, he can be kind of like, you know, you think he might be your friend, and he just plays all kinds of horrible psychological mind games with his young employee, and I just loved it.
I think at the time he was too, again, a pretty accurate parody, if a parody can be accurate, of a Hollywood boss. This was the Hollywood boss for whom, as his assistant, you had to be on call 25 hours a day.
Exactly.
Chip, thanks very much for the nomination. We appreciate it.
I mentioned, Neil, that there is another area where I put it kind of out of bounds, and that's prison wardens.
Right.
You know, a lot of people put them up, and there are a bunch of those, but that's not quite your boss, I don't think, you know.
We're talking about the Summer Movie Festival here on Talk of the Nation. Murray Horowitz is going to be with us 4 of the next 5 weeks to take your nominations, and we're going to be talking about movies all this summer long, so stay tuned with us Thursdays on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we were talking about Jimmy Cagney earlier as in his role with Mr. Roberts. He also plays a harried Coca-Cola executive in post-war Berlin in the movie 1-2-3.
Everybody at the post, waiting orders.
All right, here we go. First, get a barber and a manicurist up to the office. Next, call my lawyer. I want him here immediately. Next, I want to speak to the manager of the Berlin Hilton. Next, get a hold of what's-his-name. You know, that moth-eaten count. The one that used to hang around the Cafe Bean.
Count von Dost, the Schattenburg?
That's the one. I want to see him right away.
Yes, sir.
And send Ingeborg in here with pad and pencil.
Yes, sir.
Nelma. 1, 2, 3.
This is great. It's perfect. And he is the exemplar of American post-war efficiency. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We mentioned The Apartment. This is part of the spate of Billy Wilder films right around 1960. Some Like It Hot, The Apartment, Kiss Me Stupid, 1-2-3. They're just unbelievably wonderful comedies.
Let's talk with Tom. Tom's calling us from Chillicothe in Ohio.
It's Chillicothe.
It is Chillicothe.
All right, Chillicothe.
I'm from Dayton, and I know.
Christopher Walken's portrayal of Sergeant Merwin J. Toomey in Biloxi Blues with Matthew Broderick.
I think it's a good nomination. I think that, and again, it's a comedy, which is interesting, isn't it? I said that there is this other zone of military bosses, and I think that's a good portrayal. And it's interesting because it's a Neil Simon character. I'm trying to think if there's another boss you love to hate in Neil Simon, and I can't think of one.
I can't either, but a movie that began my love of Christopher Walken and still one of my favorites.
Thanks very much, Tom.
You guys take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's try Adriana in Kansas City. That one I can pronounce.
Hi. The worst one that I've ever seen, and I haven't seen a movie as bad as this one, was Cadence or Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, this was the one about he was a military boss, and the majority of the people that was in the military that he had to stand over were black guys, and there was one guy in there who played as his son is the one that played as the guy that was friends with them, and this man was just horrible. He was a horrible man in this movie. I may not be pronouncing it right, but I think it's Cadence.
Hmm.
And right. It was Charlie Sheen played in it, and his son also played in there.
Hmm. This one has escaped me as well, but I'll pursue On Demand may have it. They seem to have everything else.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they do.
All right.
Thank you.
Adriana, thanks very much for the call. We'd mentioned earlier in the show, there is one boss from hell who actually is from hell.
Your son is going to sit at the head of all tables, my boy. He's going to set this whole thing free.
You want a child?
I want a family.
The Antichrist.
Whatever.
Whatever. Of course, Al Pacino as the devil.
The devil, and in fact, he suggests that... Oh, golly, wait a minute. Who is the...
That's Keanu.
Keanu Reeves, thank you. The Keanu Reeves sleep with his sister. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a pretty diabolical thing. And in addition to a boss literally from hell, and I talked about the genre engaging some of our finest actors, and Al Pacino is one of them, we also have to mention that there are some films where the villainy of the bosses is real. I'm thinking of Barbara Kopple's documentary Harlan County, USA, mm-hmm. where it's, you know, the bosses are kind of nameless, but certainly not faceless, and they are the bosses from hell.
There's also, of course, wordplay. That was short. Anyway, let's see if we can get another caller in. Michael with us from Madison, Wisconsin.
Me.
Michael, go ahead.
Hi. Hey, I wanted to nominate, let's see, who was it? In Glengarry Glen Ross,
yes.
Alec Baldwin's character.
Ooh.
Right.
He's not the official boss of the office, Kevin Spacey is, but Alec Baldwin does some pretty horrible things to, I think, Jack Lemmon's in there and a few other pretty big names. I thought that was a pretty, you know, nominative,
not quite. He's not really the boss, as you suggest, so he might qualify for most the co-worker from hell.
Yeah, he's in a higher position, so I thought it would, you know, qualify.
All right.
And the things he does to Jack Lemmon are just horrible.
Just horrible. The character's name is Blake, by the way, and I think I'm with you. I think he belongs on the list. One villain that almost nobody's mentioned, I don't think any of us has mentioned, is I talked about Time, and this is the 70s, 80s boss, and that's Gordon Gekko.
We did mention that.
Michael
yeah.
Douglas, we did mention
him. Well, you know, greed is good.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm learning it in the hard way.
Michael, thanks very much for the call. So next week, Murray, what are we going to talk
next
about?
Next week, we're going to talk about a genre that's one of my favorites. It's movies about the movies.
Huh.
So what's your favorite movie about the movie, or what's the movie that best captures something about the movies?
We're going to have more on this if you'd like to take a look at our website. That's at npr.org. Murray Horwitz of the Silver Theater and here in the Washington, D.C. area. We'll be back next week. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.